off 2025 with New Year, New CE. On January 1st, snag 50% off all 2025 Fetch conferences. Don't wait. This deal ends on January 4th at midnight. Secure your spot at any of our 5 conferences now at dvm360events.com. Start your year with savings that won't last.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. I love chatting with our colleagues, and I have not just one, not two. I got 3 wonderful rock stars in the room right now that we're going to be chatting about something very interesting and cool, and I don't want to steal their thunder, so I'm going to have them explain it. But first up, we have the one and only Dr. Pam Hale in the house. How are you, my friend?
Doing well, Adam. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. So to our listeners, Dr. Hale has held numerous high-level leadership roles within veterinary medicine, from chief of staff to chief medical officer. She's a highly engaged veterinary industry consultant as an operations, startup, and firm-building subject matter expert. In addition, she's a member of Vet Partners and the chief organization for women executives. So she does incredible work in this profession. Also joining us is Dr. George Melillo. How's it going, George?
I'm doing well. Good to hear you, see you again.
Good to see you again as well. Dr. Melillo is the founder and chief veterinary officer of Heart and Paw. He's had a long career working in private practice as a practice owner and in corporate veterinary medicine. And last but certainly not least is Dr. Keith True. How's it going, Keith?
I'm doing really well, Adam. Thanks for having us again. And it's good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you as well. Dr. True's chose a career in veterinary medicine because of his love for animals, of course, and a desire to pursue the many entrepreneurial opportunities the field offers. Dr. True became a partner at 3 hospitals in Chicagoland area, and his interest has led him to have an MBA degree as well. Dr. True founded True Vet Potential in 2023 with a goal focused on removing the barriers to practice ownership and providing the necessary business training and coaching to help veterinarians thrive in the field of entrepreneurship. Okay, friends, so this is so exciting. I want the listeners to learn, and I'm curious to see how this all started to come together, how you all got to know each other even further. So, Dr. Hale, I want to ask you, because I know you've written many articles with us on veterinary leadership, and I'm assuming that had something to do on how you all came together. So tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely, and thanks, Adam, very much for having us again. So, a couple things. As you said, you do know that I'm passionate about veterinarians and leadership in our profession. I believe we've lost some of our autonomy and some of our agency. So I talk and write a lot about how can we as veterinarians get that back. And one way that we can is definitely through veterinary leadership. And in writing those articles, it piqued the interest of several people out there in the industry, one being Dr. Melillo, and then Dr. True reached out to me individually, and we said, hey, we have a little bit of a critical mass here. It's a small critical mass, but it's a critical mass of veterinarians who feel the same way about how veterinarians should be involved in our careers and our profession and leading the profession. So we've actually formed a group, and we actually are now for the first time unveiling our name to the public. Yes, drum roll, drum roll. We are actually calling our group NOVEL. And what NOVEL stands for is the New Order of Veterinary Leaders. So NOVEL, NOVEL, obviously has several, entendres as far as names go. NOVEL being a book, something new, learning. NOVEL also being we're turning our page to the veterinary profession to veterinary leadership or back to veterinary leadership. So we're very proud to announce NOVEL on the Vet Blast podcast here. It's breaking news, Adam. It's breaking news.
Right. I love breaking news. I love it. So, Doctor, I'm curious to get your perspective on all this. So the 3 of you came together. So, Dr. Melillo, how has your background shaped where you are today with the NOVEL organization? What does that look like?
Yeah, no, I think one of the beauties of, we always talk about how this is a small profession in many ways. And so kind of the inception of the idea was I really responded to an article that Dr. Hale had written. And just our paths have crossed, in the past. So I knew and respected her. But it moved me enough to just say, can we do something? How can I be part of what you're talking about? And while novel is very new, you know, we have been in 2 years of kind of conversations and kind of actually met physically almost a year ago. But it really was around that shared passion about doing something different and being that beacon of light for veterinarians out there, whether that's owning businesses, whether that's co-owning businesses, whether it's getting up the kind of the leadership ranks where, you know, I feel very strongly that we are the best stewards of our profession. We need to have a vocal, a very strong voice in whatever organization that that is. And, you know, for me, it was kind of a big part of the founding story of the group I'm in. But, you know, it really is that shared passion. I think we have a lot of energy, a lot of ideas that I think going forward will translate into doing a lot of good things for the veterinary profession.
You do. You all have such great vision and passion for this profession. And when I heard that Dr. True came on board with this, too, I was like, of course, it makes sense. So, Keith, tell us a little bit about how your background came to fruition to join this great group here.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. I reached out to Pam similarly as well when she wrote that. And it's like, you start to gather these ideas from your experiences and practice and ownership and also the corporate world. And, you know, you start to get your own opinion on these things. And then when somebody else puts that a similar opinion out there, you're like, oh man, I'm not the only one. So I reached out to Pam and we got to talking and ended up meeting up at VMX. And, you know, I think about 3 hours later through conversations, we ended up deciding to try and carve a path forward. So, you know, I've seen the interest in ownership amongst young, particularly young veterinarians, go down. And I think it's just due to a lot of fear and also lack of training that we believe that we can't run businesses or we can't climb the ranks of leadership. And I want to be an active participant in flipping that narrative. And like Pam said, it's just, we need to, and how George said it, we need to be stewards of our profession. And the way to do that is to maintain that top voice in that industry. So I'm very happy and excited to be on board with this.
That's great. And Dr. Hale, what are some of the barriers that veterinarians face in considering owning their own practice?
Sure. And keep in mind, too, that we're also talking about leadership within our veterinary groups out there that are here to stay. Our aggregators and large veterinary groups are here to stay, but we want veterinarians to be in those C-suite roles as chief medical officers, of course, but even as CEOs. Why not? Why are we not in those roles that we can then advocate for the veterinarians that work in our hospitals? I mean, we are the widgets. We are the white coats in the veterinary hospitals that the businesses wish to work with. When they, you know, buy a veterinary group, then you know what? We need to be up there making those important decisions. So we want to encourage, educate, and empower veterinarians to pursue practice ownership, but also to pursue those high-level leadership roles. And of course, their leadership roles within the hospitals themselves. So barriers to ownership, obviously, you know, what started probably 20 or 30 years ago, which sort of led to this growth in veterinary groups, is a lot of young DVMs coming out of school, not wanting to either, you know, get a loan to pay for a practice, you know, considering the school loan debt that many of them have. Also, the feeling of they need to learn more medicine before they enter into practice ownership, which we all do coming out of school. You know, traditionally, what is it, 50, 60 years ago, you might come out of school on a Friday and open up your own practice on a Monday, and or you would go in and work with Doc Joe for 5 or 6 years and still and start buying into the practice. But as we've then, you know, grown into veterinary groups, we also need veterinarians that are in those important roles that help to give us agency. I know I've done some of my best work, even as a clinician, as a leader, as a regional medical director, when I've answered to another veterinarian, because we know that they can help us and they understand exactly what we go through each day. Don't get me wrong. I do believe we need our paraprofessionals around us, and paraprofessionals being those non-DVMs, not just at our hospital level, but even at the corporate home office level. I think we need those around us, but I do believe that veterinarians also should bring that most important part of what our profession needs, and that's the veterinary medical leadership and the business leadership, which I know Dr. True and Dr. Melillo can talk to.
Yeah, tell me more about that, Dr. Melillo. Why is that so important?
Well, you know, I mean, I think it's so important because I don't think veterinarians are used to hearing that it is just as important to embrace some of the business aspects as it is the medicine. And I think one of the things that we all agree with is the people making the most money in veterinary medicine are not necessarily veterinarians. And that is a pain point for a lot of us. I think, you know, we have to be better as a profession by letting our younger doctors know that it's okay to embrace both, and that they should embrace both, whether they want to be, you know, a business owner or not, or work in an organization. That business knowledge is kind of critical to kind of their success in this profession and their longevity in the profession. And I think that we have to be better at kind of being the voice as doctors who have had success, you know, as in our veterinary career, but also
important it is.
Hold on 1 second. I'm going to redo that because I said Brett for some weird reason and need to say George.
Okay. That's okay. I was getting a little over my words. Yeah, there yeah. Too,
let me, let me refresh. Sorry about that too. I was just on a call with this guy. Sorry. So it's going to be George. Okay. 3, 2, 1. I really appreciate what Dr. George is talking about there too. And I remember, Dr. Chu, when we were talking, I guess a year or two ago about leadership, I know how passionate you are about having veterinary professionals in that leadership role. So what does this all mean to you?
Well, I'll kind of talk about leadership and business together. You know, I think business, then the minds, you know, this entrepreneurial business minds, both veterinarians and non-veterinarians are important to running successful businesses. I think there needs to be a good harmony that, you know, if you have somebody who really knows business well and a veterinarian who also knows veterinary medicine well, and you come together, I think something really special can be created. I think that relationship does get strained over a period of time and we start to see those two drift apart. And that's, you know, been my experience. But, you know, when I talk about veterinary leadership as well, the fact of the matter is, yes, we can say there are inherent leaders and non-inherent leaders, but leadership as a in general is something that can be learned. And I don't care if you know, are coming out of school on your first day and you walk in, you are a leader as a veterinarian, no matter how you want to slice it up. Everybody in that hospital is looking to you. The owners are looking to you for advice, and you need to be able to lead them and guide them. And extrapolate that into, you know, further beyond the exam room, that needs to be continued. So, you know, when I hear a veterinarian say, "Hey, I'm not a leader," it's like, "Hey, you know what? I wasn't a leader to start as well." And I know several others who have taken that same idea too, but through learning how to be a leader, learning through skills of being a leader and being able to help that advance within your career and your profession, not only will help you grow in the ranks of your hospital or your corporation or whatever that means, but it helps you become a better veterinarian in the exam room as well.
Yeah. So that's really what we're looking to do here, Adam, is novel. It's still very new and we're still brainstorming all of what we wanted to do, but distilling it down a little bit, we want to be able to provide the support for veterinarians who want to step into these roles with leadership, with coaching opportunities, you know, companies that provide coaching, maybe sort of a platform where you said, okay, I know I need coaching on leadership. I know I need coaching on business. I know I need coaching on team member interaction, or I know I need coaching on what's an inventory look like as far as business. We want to be able to help provide some of those tangible things, as well as some of those things that, you know, when you talk about leadership and empathy and EQ, how can we help them find the right place to get that for them to be the great leaders that they already are? And also then that, again, that empowers them. And I think sometimes we use that word too much, but we've lost our agency. I go back to that as veterinarians, when others are making those decisions about the team members around us, about the hours we work, about how many pets we see per day. We talk about veterinary burnout. That's a huge part of it. When you have no agency in what you do day to day, and someone who doesn't quite have the training that you have as far as medicine goes and making those very important decisions for you day to day, that contributes to burnout and that contributes to veterinarians wanting to leave this profession. So what we're trying to do is make sure we provide as much of that support. That's what we're going to have our platform be. And we each have our little part of passion of that. As you know, mine is the leadership coaching out there, you know, that I work with a group on coaching doctors. I know Dr. True's working on open hospitals that are kind of have some co-ownership. That's another option also in owners, veterinarians, is co-ownership. And Dr. Melillo as well. So that's really what Novel is going to be about. How can we support these doctors?
Yeah, it's wonderful. And let's talk about the values that Novel has. And it sounds like you call it the FAIR values, which stands for freedom, advocacy, inclusion, integrity, and respect. So Dr. Melillo, kind of elaborate a little bit more on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, these values really are kind of at the heart of how we kind of look to interact with the veterinary community, whether they're the guides that we kind of make decisions based on, whether it's how we kind of interpret what support we can provide. It is kind of the skeleton from which we build this organization. And, you know, I think internally, the three of us in our navigations have really helped one another in our professional careers. How do we expand that using these values to really, you know, be that advocate? You know, I think the promise we want to make is really around respect, inclusion, and really treating everyone with integrity, which isn't always the case. So I think these values really suit that strong framework of how we look to kind of grow this organization, how we look to interact with our colleagues in this profession, and really what we're able to accomplish with them. And I'm very encouraged, because I'm actually optimistic. I see so many positive trends as I talk to newer veterinarians, or I let them know what options are available for them. And doing it with positivity isn't something they're always used to hearing about. So I am actually very optimistic at that groups like ours and this Novel group will be a very powerful kind of force to really guide people, to healthier, happier careers in the profession.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, just from talking to new graduates, I've never seen anything like this since I've been practicing. Is the passion for entrepreneurship is huge right now. It really is. And to see them coming out of school earlier in terms of graduating, but then wanting to go right into ownership, I think is fantastic. And, you know, Dr. True, I know you have your MBA degree too. And there's that myth that sometimes they say, oh, veterinarians, they're not good business people, you know, but they're in school now. They have a lot of the VBMAs. They feel more confidence. I'm curious to get your perspective on that. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that is a frame of mind that a lot of people come out as. I don't know what I'm doing. And the fact of the matter is, you don't know what you're doing. It's because you haven't been taught it. You haven't taken the extra steps to learn it. But does that mean you shouldn't take a little risk and step out of your comfort zone and explore those? I think absolutely not. I think that, you know, reading a P&L statement or, you know, using QuickBooks or talking to an accountant, those are things that can be learned. Just as I said, leadership can be learned. So, you know, you as a young veterinarian, there are tools that you can use, and you don't need to go get an MBA to run a practice. I will be the first one to tell you that, but you can learn how to do all these things. I will always say that the most important thing that I take away from my MBA experience and my experience running businesses, it's not my ability to read a profit and loss statement. It's my ability to lead and manage a team and provide continued growth opportunities for those individuals. If I don't have people who want to stay and work with me, I don't have a business. So that's where you just start. The other things that you can learn. At the end of the day, yes, we are a business. We need to make money. We need to be able to make money as a business to provide employment, to provide care to our patients, all of that. But the core of that all stems of what kind of leader you are and what kind of organization you run. So yeah, I think that's the core of what I took away from my MBA and what I've taken away from real life practice.
And Adam, just what Dr. True hit up on there, our value of freedom is around the freedom that you have if you're one running your own business or you're helping make the decisions, but also the freedom of financial wealth. Again, there's nothing wrong with financial wealth. And Dr. True has a great story when he talks about new graduates worried about, well, I have this school debt, I just need to get a job. The best way, Dr. True, I'm going to let you say it because you say it the best of all of us. Tell that story.
Yeah, I will talk to new graduates all the time, people I've hired, And, you know, you hear about all of these signing bonuses that get thrown around. And, you know, that's what we're competing against. And when I talk to new graduates, I'm like, ignore the signing bonus. I'm like, a signing bonus can give you some, you know, some dollars towards your student loans, but you're still going to be tied down. Like, the quickest way to get those student loans off of your, you know, paid off is equity. And equity in a business is that you help to grow is going to increase your wealth, your ability to pay those loans off. And you're going to pay those things fast off faster than you ever imagined. And I know it's true because I did it. I came out with, you know, $150,000, $160,000 in debt, got ownership within a year and a half. And I paid my student loans off 3.5, 4 years out of school. And so it can be done. And I'm living proof, and I'm not the only one who's done that. I know there are several others out there, and even people that I've mentored along the way. So equity and building that personal wealth, that financial wealth, that's the way you pay those student loans off and create that freedom that Pam was just talking about.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And congratulations on doing that as well. Because yeah, certainly not easy there. And, you know, Dr. Melillo, when I had the honor of hanging out with you and the team at Heart and Par, by the way, shout out to them. They're awesome. What I loved is just the fact that, to your point about leadership, here you are as a veterinarian, but in leadership at Heart and Paw, and you had an eye, even just the day that I hung out with you, you had an eye in understanding what we get, what your associates were getting, going through, just the workflow. I thought that was really profound, honestly. And I never had a really chance to commend you on it, because you were able to see things like, because you're a vet, you get it. But that is so, so important, would you say?
Yeah, no, I think it is. And, our model is our business leader, our operations teams are all veterinarians. And I feel that they have the unique insights, which obviously feed to me, on where everybody is in their journey. And you know, what highlights, you know, what strengths they have, as well as what opportunities they have. And we're able to kind of have great, meaningful conversations with them, what actually kind of does develop everyone in their leadership journey. The one thing, we're not just talking about for young doctors necessarily with Novel. It's how do we help that practice owner that sometimes feels on an island, right? And struggles with, how do I make the necessary price changes that might be important for my business, but I get resistance from, you know. So we want to be able to be at stake for everyone, not just kind of for those young doctors. But thank you for calling that out about what you observed there.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, so Dr. Hale, this is fantastic. So to listeners, again, we have Novel. I know you haven't a domain yet, but we can most likely find you on LinkedIn for now. Tell us a little bit more.
Sure. I am all over LinkedIn. I post frequently different articles or different interviews that have been done. I'm also on Facebook and I'm on Instagram. But yes, you can find me anywhere, and please feel free to reach out to me at any time.
Yeah. And where do we see Novel going? Because it will have a website eventually, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. So we're working on all of that. We're very glad to be able to get our name actually as a domain. No one had taken that name yet. So we're hopefully we'll get that up and going in the next 3 or 4 months or so. And then we want to invite other people to come join with us, other people that bring different or similar skill sets, other people that have services that we may be able to offer to doctors that are starting to look for the things that we're talking about, the coaching, the business coaching, all of those type of things as well. And medicine is always in there as well. But we want more like-minded people to join this revolution. I guess that's what I would call it, a little bit of a revolution going on here, because we have to be advocates for ourselves. That's another one of our values, is advocacy, being advocates for veterinarians, for ourselves, and for our profession. So that's what we're really aspiring to.
Absolutely. Well said, my friend. Well said. And Dr. True, you're on LinkedIn as well?
I'm on LinkedIn. I post relatively frequently, but you can reach out to me and message me whenever. I'm always happy to have a chat. And I think I've been talking with a lot of practice owners who are looking to retire, who have don't necessarily have a clear exit strategy because there's not somebody there to purchase the practice. So I'm happy to talk with owners looking for options moving forward. But I have conversations with young veterinarians all the time as well, just about the getting into ownership, you know, easing their fears. So happy to chat with anybody along the way in that process.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And Dr. Melillo, I know where to find you, but tell the listeners where they can find you.
Yes, I also am on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram, and as well as Heart and Paw. I guess I would just say, you know, anybody listening, reach out to us. That's how we started, by reaching out based on an article. So I'd encourage you to just kind of take the step, kind of say hello, check in with us, and we'll kind of guide you as the next steps of Novel evolve.
Let this be a little push to, if you have any interest in getting into that next step of your career, let this be your wake-up call to finally make that first step, because it's a rewarding step to take. And I think, just like we talked about earlier, just bringing positivity back into our profession and creating actionable items that just makes this industry better than it already is. So thanks for pointing that out, George.
Yeah. And I will say about positivity, there is great positivity in this profession, this is a great example to the listeners. And I've mentioned this on the show many times, the power of networking and the fact that Dr. Hale drops an article and you guys reach out, you meet at VMX. You know, it's more than just continuing education to the listeners out there. When you go to these conferences, it's about networking and, you know, exchanging ideas, and hey, I have this outside the litter box idea, and then somebody else will be like, yes, I like that. So this is just why I wanted to bring this to the show, to the listeners, just the fact that if you have an idea, like anything that's so, I don't know, different, unique, I'm sure somebody else that can help support you on that, because this Novel is a wonderful organization that's going to do great things in this profession. And my hat's off to the three of you for making this work, because it's not easy. But I challenge the listeners tuning in too, if you have ideas, just keep going. Can't stop, won't stop, right?
Right. And Adam, you hit up on one of our other values, which is inclusion. We want a big tent. And so anyone who wants to come talk with us, join us, help continue to define what Novel is going to be, help it to evolve. That's what our inclusion is about. We want everyone that really feels this passion about veterinarians in our profession being at the forefront of leading our profession, and how can we help that and an advocate for that. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Absolutely. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. Congratulations and all the success of Novel. I can't wait to see where it's going to go. And just keep me posted, okay?
Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. Thanks, and thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Don't forget to rate the podcast. Hope this helped out a lot. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everyone. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.